This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hey guys, Liam here. Just to let you know that Nick's mic had a bit of a fit again, so Nick's audio quality is a little bit off. As you know, we do try to make the audio quality of our Trek FM shows as good as we can do, but sometimes it is beyond our control. So nonetheless, we hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. We found it a lot of fun, and there are times where I couldn't stop laughing. But anyway, thank you for listening to The Edge and Trek FM.
Hi, I'm Honnelly Culpepper, director of Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Picard, and you are listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of The Edge, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to Star Trek Discovery. I'm your co-host, Nick Collinson. Joining me today is Brandy Jackler and Liam Smart. How are you both today?
I'm good.
I'm fine. My voice is going in and out, so I apologize for any scratchiness that may come in due to lingering illness.
You got a scratchy voice. It might sound like a adult podcast.
Or suddenly that terrible review comes true and my voice becomes grating.
I don't know. I highly doubt it.
Okay. I'll put my faith in your doubt. That makes no sense.
Off to a good start.
Excellent. All right.
No,
way to go, yes.
I'm pretty good, though. Like, I was meant to be on holiday this Easter, going four-wheel driving down on sand dunes in the bottom of South Australia, but obviously we can't go because we're not allowed to go anywhere. So instead, I bought paint and I've painted part of my lounge. It's like an orange colour, and the only reason I did it was I was looking for paint for the kitchen, and then it came across a paint called Hot Ginger, and because Jordan is ginger, I bought the paint purely so I could paint it on a wall for a Snapchat that will come that will basically say, nope, I can still see him. He's not hot.
That is a long walk.
But yeah, so I've literally painted it Hot Ginger because I like the name of it. It doesn't actually go too bad, though. It's a nice colour orange.
I also bought paints recently, but they were paints for my airbrush so that I could paint my model F-104 fighter jet.
I haven't bought paints. I feel so left out. I'm sorry.
Well, you can borrow the paints that I've got to paint my kitchen. They're called lamb's ears. That's the colour of that paint.
Lamb's ears.
I love paint colours. Each Easter as well, my family do like weird Easter egg hunt that's all sort of similar to The Amazing Race, where we like go and send them about and do like things around like the southern suburbs of Adelaide. And
that's very involved.
It is. So the last time I organized one, I sent them to Bunnings, which is like a huge hardware store. And part of their thing was to find paints, like the little swatches, you know, you can get and then use them for something else. I won't go into that, but the names I found them were like things like Creamy Cucumber. And I found like the dodgiest sounding names that I possibly could for them to run around Bunnings trying to find.
Of course you did, because I know the kind of presents that your family give each other.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
I've already heard those stories. We can't discuss them during this episode.
Yeah.
All right. Well, looking for paint swatches and going on weird Easter egg hunts around the city aren't all we're here to talk about today. So today, first of all, Liam, you said we have a new review to read out.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Tease. Ooh,
I am a tease. Wink. Now, this review is a good review that comes from a bad review. So, I'd like to say yes. Douglas X. Taylor has sort of followed up on the way that we did Tractor Pull Rejects, kind of terrible review.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So, this review is called Grating and Terrible Forever. Ha 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 ha. And it's a 5-star review. It says, I just listened to the most recent episode from the Trek FM main feed, and I had to write in here to say thirst. See, this is what I don't get. It says thirst, but I might just read it out as it says. And I had to write in here to say first, I very much enjoy the show. When Brandy gave a detailed exposition of the Fallout 4 DLC with the Mechanist and still connected it to Trek, I knew I had to write in. I love listening to you all, and thank you for your hard work. Recommended for fans of Star Trek Discovery for the diverse viewpoints, measured critique, and balanced criticism. Thanks for giving me something to listen to while doing gig work during the coronavirus. So firstly, thank you, Douglas X. Taylor from the United States of America. Stay safe with coronavirus. And yeah, thank you for listening and writing in. And maybe that could be our handle, Grating and Terrible Forever.
Sweet. Sweet. I like that. Let's just create our own Twitter feed, just under Grating and Terrible Forever.
That's where we can put all the edited out bits.
There you go. See? You're thinking.
It will get pulled off of...
You're the brains of this operation.
It'll get pulled off of Twitter for being, you know, 18 plus.
Whatever.
Or slightly weird. So, anyway, thought that would be a nice review.
That was really good.
Yes.
That was
very kind.
Thank you very much for that. It's honestly, like, weird thinking that people are listening to us to kind of get through really tough work that you got to do right now. So if you are hearing us right now and you are one of the many people who are considered essential and have to be out there still working right now, I don't really know what to say except for
thank you.
Safe and God, thank you so much for still doing what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
We wish you didn't have to.
I wish we didn't have to.
Yeah. Same.
But at the same time, it's better to be working and be paid than not.
Yeah, look, and that's what I say, because I've got a lot of people coming in to my work because I work at a bank and they can't pay their mortgages now because they've been let go and they don't meet the government's ridiculous stimulus package. And it's tough. And I keep having to tell myself, like, yeah, look, it's really hard listening to some of the stuff that people are going through. But at the same time, I do have a job, so I just got to smile through it.
Yeah.
But yeah, especially thank you to the nurses and the doctors that are literally putting themselves in harm's way. Because without you, we're screwed even more.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. It's scary out there, you guys.
Sure is. Which is why we've decided to have a nice kind of fun episode today for anyone listening to sort of pick people up. So what we're doing today is, I describe it as almost like we're kind of rolling up our own... RPG party, but essentially what we're doing is we want to come up with what happened in the Prime Universe for the last sort of 6 months of the Klingon War while Discovery was trapped in the Mirror Universe. I'm going to be a bit new to this because Brandy and Liam, you've both done sort of rewrite episodes before.
Yeah, I've done one on TTJ, which went crazy. Me and Suzanne are slightly mad and gory. And then you got Zach trying to provide a measured response, but yeah. And yeah, I've done one. Brandy's done a few on Warp 5.
Yep. I enjoy these because when you get people together, you just never know what ideas are going to come out of it. And sometimes it's really amazing.
I mean, so, between us three, yes, I'm sure it's going to be stupid.
Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely. And I am fine with
Me
that.
Me too.
Excellent. Cool, cool, cool. So this isn't exactly a rewrite so much as a filling in the blanks, I feel
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really cover the Klingon War, which I was actually fine with because I didn't need to see another war. I really didn't. And so it didn't bother me that they kind of skipped to the end. I know it bothered a lot of other people, but I personally am just like, I don't need to see another war. So thank you for doing that. Because the last Trek that...
Sorry.
I was just going to say the last Trek that we had was Enterprise, and there was an entire season of them being at war, which was an amazing season, but it's not necessarily what I always want to see in Star Trek.
See, I'm a little bit different. I would have liked to have seen the war. I wouldn't have... I appreciate things like the tactics of the war, if that makes sense. I don't necessarily have to see shoot 'em up episodes every episode. Like, a little bit of that sprinkled here and there is fine. The way DS9 did a war, I thought was great because it was still peppered with, you know, lighthearted episodes and so on. But I like hearing things like, oh, the front has moved on to Beta Zed and that kind of thing. And in your mind, you can just sort of see what's happening without actually having to see it.
Yeah, but what story would they be telling in the meantime?
What do you mean?
So, well, I mean, you can't do that and tell a story about war unless you're involved in the war.
Yes, you're involved in the war, but you're not... I'm wondering, is your issue with it seeing all the fighting or literally just the whole concept of war?
No. Just the whole concept of war. Okay. I don't enjoy it. And so I understand all of the tactics and everything that goes into it, but I was raised on two different kinds of movies. Well, three different kinds of movies: science fiction, westerns, and war movies, or, you know, military movies. And I just had my fill.
Did Disney not exist?
I don't want to see that. Disney did exist, but not to the degree that it does now. I'm 46 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It wasn't big in the 80s. In fact, I was graduating from high school when The Little Mermaid happened, if that gives you any idea. So, yeah. My childhood
was... When was The Little Mermaid?
I want to say 1990, or was it 89?
Oh, my God, it was the year I was born, 1989.
I was a junior in high school in 1989, and then a senior as well, because my 89 to 90 was my senior year.
So, you're old enough to be my mother, Brandy.
I know.
So much for Granddaddy Brandy.
No, I'm just... You can call me mother! Okay, so how are we going to start this, Nick, Liam? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so do we want to start with a ship?
Well, yeah, because if the Discovery is in the Mirror Universe, we've got no sort of people to follow around, have we? So why don't we create a ship and a crew?
Cool. What class or ship are we creating?
I was actually thinking, because I always loved this idea of getting a little bit from the alternate timeline and bringing it in, because I always loved the USS Kelvin. From the Star Trek 09. I like that design, and I like the idea of a ship that's like really old. Like, this was a ship that was basically ready for decommission, and it was maybe on their last mission. Then suddenly the war starts out, and they've got, you know, this unprepared, unequipped old science ship that's just got to be kind of pulled back into service.
Okay, so you think we should have the USS Kelvin as our main ship?
Yeah. The Kelvin, or one of at least the same class, someone that looks like it.
Can we have one that's the same class but not the Kelvin?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because
we could make our own. We could name it and everything.
Can we name it after something that, as far as I'm aware, hasn't been done yet? And I got it, and I've sort of come up with the idea from the Way to the Stars book. You know how we had an Australian Aboriginal descent captain? What if we call...
Yes.
Now, this is going to... I do not mean to offend with my poor pronunciation of any of these words, but I was thinking, what if we used the name USS Karkira or the USS Wadley Pari? The first means moon in Gowna, which is the people of the Adelaide Plains. And the second, which I'm fairly sure I'm pronouncing terribly wrong, means Milky Way, or literally Hutt River, because the Torrens River that runs through Adelaide they saw the reflection of the Milky Way in the river, and it was the river in the stars. So they've called it the Wadley Pari, which is the word for Milky Way.
That's cool.
But I don't know how many times I'm going to be able to say it with pronouncing. So it's either that or the Kakira, or any other ideas we could name it?
I'm terrible at naming things. Yeah. Dave's job is naming things.
The USS Brandy.
No.
I quite like Wadley Pari.
Wadley Pari.
Especially if it translates to essentially like river in the stars, I think that's great.
Yeah, the literal translation, I believe, from memory, was Hutt River, because it's like they see it as the river in the stars and the dark bits in the Milky Way as like a monster, but I can't remember the name of the monster. And then there's like stars either side of it are like the huts and people along, etc.
That's really cool.
And I think it also makes part of the emu in the sky as well. There's loads stories.
Yeah, around it. The dark emu is the sort of big dark cloud patch that you can see in the Milky Way.
Mm.
And in the sort of traditional cosmology of, I think, quite a few of the different...
It's quite a few, yeah.
Indigenous groups in Australia, they see it as a giant emu, and it's one of the only cultures in the world that sees the gap in it as opposed to, like, all the stars.
Yeah.
Okay, so spell this word for me, Liam.
Wodlipari.
Cool.
Yeah. So the, like, it says in my little research that I did, because then I got stuck in a Wikipedia hole about Aboriginal astronomy. it says...
rabbit holes.
Karawirapari, which is the Aboriginal or Kaurna word, sorry, for the River Torrens, which runs through the Adelaide CBD, was thought to be a reflection of the Milky Way known as the Wadley Pari, so named because the bright stars on the edge were thought to be the campfires on the side of the river.
I like it. Good name.
But it looks exactly like the USS Kelvin, yeah?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Do we know what class the Kelvin is?
It says Kelvin-type starship. But in memory beta, it's the Einstein class.
Yeah. Good old memory
Perfect.
Beta.
Yeah. So we will take it from the...
Covering the books and comics.
All right. So we got the Einstein class, USS Wadley Pari.
Nice. Excellent.
And yeah, that's about as far as my thoughts go. So...
Okay. Well, I'm going to guess that... This ship would have been retrofitted to, you know, have better weapons, etc.
Oh, yes.
Is my guess.
So okay. are we having it as a warship, or are we going to have the Wadley Pari as like a science ship or what?
I think it should be a science ship.
Science ship with big cannons?
Science ship that's been sort of, hastily retrofitted because it has to be a warship.
So things go wrong with it.
Yeah.
Quite frequently.
Yes. Yes. Because they don't know how to be soldiers as well. They're like, we're scientists. We're not fighters.
So we've got a hastily retrofitted science vessel. Cool. It's kind of like the Discovery in a way that it's meant to be a science vessel.
Wasn't the Enterprise also about exploration? But they were armed to the teeth just as well, so...
Oh, true. And Voyager, the Intrepid class, had some weapons on it as well.
Well, I think, you know, you can explore to your heart's content, but you have to be able to defend yourself about whatever dangers you may encounter. So it makes sense to have weapons, even on science vessels.
Yeah, that makes sense, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah.
It is logical.
Who is captaining our Wadley Pari?
And I think for... This is probably going to be mainly for your benefit, Leanne. All of our crew and everyone should be people completely new and no one pulled from anywhere else.
Yes, because I am sick of characters coming in from other shows.
Yes.
You won't hear enough about that in the next recent TTJ episode. Oh my God, I'm over it. So anyway, yeah. Go for it, Brandy. What were you...
What? I don't know. What? Who? Me? What?
So what were you thinking?
Okay, so
for Captain.
Captain. Well, I would like to have a non-human captain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
So, and I would like to see a captain of a race we don't usually see as a captain.
So basically not an Andorian and not a Vulcan or not?
Not
human.
Not a Vulcan.
How about Acacian?
Tellarite?
Acacian?
Like the cat people from the animated series.
Hmm.
Can she be sassy?
It is canon.
Yeah.
We can put Acacian in if you want. Or what did you say? Tellarite, Randy?
Yeah, it was just the next thing that came to mind.
So we can either have a grumpy Tellarite or a grumpy Cation.
What if we had a Tellarite-Cation hybrid?
Oh, wow. Oh. Oh, how does that work? Oh.
Like a cat with tusks.
Oh, it's like a saber-toothed tiger. Then.
So like a saber-toothed tiger? I actually kind of like that.
Yes.
Or she's just like a Cation with very, very pronounced canines. And the crew just like, maybe like part Tellarite? Like, look at those tusks.
Yes, I like it. I like it.
Yep, let's do it. I'm writing it down.
Cool. And what's her name?
Don't Cations all have names that sound like they're something a cat would say? Like Mores almost sounds like purring.
Mm.
Is it called pronounced Mores? Oh, I was calling it Emrys.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Never watched the show.
Me neither. I've watched one episode of TAS, so, and it did not have that in it. It had like giant slugs or something.
Mm. Just wait till you get to the one with a giant Spock.
Oh God, okay. Does it have a giant Spock's butt?
I don't think they ever really focus on the butt.
Okay.
Okay, so name.
So you want it to sound something catty and something Tellarite-y. Now, Tellarites are kind of like warthog pig things, aren't they?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be incorporate both. It could be one or the other, because chances are they were raised they weren't raised on both planets. If they were raised on either planet, they could have been born off-world as well.
Okay. So let's have a think. What can we name?
Keep thinking of just names like Rara or something.
Rara.
No.
We could go something
quite
terrible like Leo. Brand is like, nope. No, thank you.
Mm-mm. No.
What about... I just made it worse in my head. What about Cleopatra?
No, absolutely not.
That's terrible.
Absolutely not. She is not going to have terrible parents who would name her that.
That's true. What if she just goes by... Because we've only had, Emrys or... Umrus or whatever her name is in TAS as an actual named character, because we did get one in a movie, I think, somewhere, didn't we? Voyage Home, was it? Or Star Trek 3?
Oh, there were certainly a few in the background.
Yeah. We could name her after my cat, my real-life cat.
What's your cat's name?
Which is?
Doris.
Doris. That's such an Earth name,
it is,
though.
Isn't it? Unless we put...
You need something that sounds...
You could put like a apostrophe in it and be like D apostrophe.
Doris. The sound a cat makes when they're trying to herk up a hair ball. Doris! Doris!
You know what? I think that's perfect.
Doris! Is that what we're going with then?
D apostrophe O-R-S.
Actually, I'm going to put an H in there. D apostrophe H-O-R-U-S.
Yep.
That's what Doris. We're going.
Captain Doris.
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 Yeah. Do they just have one name, her people?
We can give her a surname if you want.
Cations. Well, you know, we need to, if they have surnames, I don't want to, well,
there's only been one Cation and it's only been named with one name, so maybe we'll keep that.
Okay, let's do that.
Cool. We got our captain.
Got it. Captain, sweet.
What's our captain? Seeing as I reckon our captain will be making all the decisions, probably. What kind of personality does she have? Typical cat-like personality, where she's like a bit aloof from the rest of her crew?
Not necessarily.
No, I reckon she like rubs up against him.
For heaven's sake. I would say she...
You sounded so angry.
Okay. No. I feel like I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to put this into words. What if she's the kind of person that lets people think that she's not as smart as she is? Just to see what they'll say in front of her?
Oh, yeah.
Deceptive or manipulative?
Not really either of those things. More like, it's just a way of observing people.
Yeah.
So that she can find out more what they're really like. Because.
Okay. Yeah. You know,
shrewd is a good word for it. Because if somebody thinks you're dumb, they're going to treat you differently than if they think you're super smart.
Yeah, we'll make that her overarching personality. But she's obviously incredibly really smart because she's a cat.
Yes, and you never know exactly what she's thinking.
So who else do we need to make? Her first officer.
First officer.
First of all, what species? We're going to need a human, obviously, to just... Maybe we should have one of sort of like, we're not going to have multiple of the same species. Maybe we should
just only one of each.
Because that could be like a calamitous mess and also an amazing ship of multiculturalism.
Exactly. Let's do that. I like it.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
If you've got a super, super smart Cation part Tellarite captain, should we have a crazy renegade first officer?
First officer is just like, if the captain is really the brains, then the first officer is the one who like goes and like leads the away mission, is much more of the like, you know, gung-ho, get out there, do stuff kind of one.
Mm.
Well, we're in the era where the captain still goes on away missions. So
yeah, that's true.
We don't have to worry about that aspect of it. Because that didn't really come about until TNG. Yeah. So
what if we make him an Andorian then? Who is a little bit gung ho.
I like that.
Or what if we make him Andorian and part Aenar?
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
So he's got a little bit of the Aenar are telepathic, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yes. 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 I like that. Like that, because that's a pairing that could happen. Very easily.
Yeah, compared to Cation and Tellarite.
I'm just saying that they're not a natural attraction. They don't live on the same planet usually. Mm. So, but the Aenar and the Andorians do.
Because do they end up liking each other at the end of the Enterprise show or not?
Yeah, what do you...
Because what...
The Aenar and Andorians? Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're fine.
Okay, cool. So we've got a Aenar Andorian first officer who's a little bit gung-ho, but a little bit telepathic at the same time. We could make him or her.
How about non-binary?
Yes! Perfect.
Because Andorians mate in quadruples.
Yes.
Do they?
There has to be four of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Oh, God. It is mentioned in... It's the episode of TNG with Lal, I think, where they first mention, like, Andorian marriages of, like, groups of four people. And then the literary verse just took that and rolled with it and came up with this amazing backstory about the four different Andorian sexes.
Yep. And I believe it is in the Enterprise book, The Good That Men Do, that you hear more about that as well. Because Shran heavily features in that, if I'm remembering correctly, but I'm pretty sure that I am.
You are remembering that, right, I believe. Sorry, I googled Andorian mating and I was doing it with a bit of trepidation. What should we call them?
What are some Andorian names have a lot of, like... like SH or TH sounds in them, don't they?
Do you want him... I know we're not going to have a characters from other shows, but what if they were a descendant of Shran?
A descendant played by Jeffrey Combs who looks exactly like Shran?
It's Combs, not Coombs. Jeffrey Combs.
No.
Just one O.
I've had enough of that with Brent Spiner playing every Sun character under the sun. Do we make him a descendant of Shran or just make him a completely non...
I think that could be cool.
It doesn't matter either way to me. It doesn't have to be a descendant of Shran.
I was only saying because Brandy loves a bit of Shran.
Well, to be fair, because there's an episode of Enterprise that I don't know if you've gotten to, Liam, where they deal with the Aenar.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. I've seen all of Enterprise, yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah, and Shran kind of likes that one chick whose name escapes me at the moment. So, it could happen.
Yeah,
he does, doesn't he?
So that could work.
Yes, he does.
Okay, so all right, how about that then? And then let's call them... Let's make him... Is it Jeffrey Combs or Jeffrey Combs, did you say?
Combs.
Okay, good.
It's Combs.
We can call him Shrooms in honor of Shran and Jeffrey Combs, which is better than Jeffrey Combs because it would have been Shrooms.
But it's not a him. It's non-binary.
Oh, okay. So we can call them Shrooms.
Okay. And that is his surname. They do have, you know, more than one name.
They do, don't they? So we've got First Officer Commander Shrooms. What can his first name be? Their first name. I keep looking. I'm keeping my brain. I'm thinking Jeffrey Combs now.
It's never a bad thing to think about Jeffrey Combs. So.
What about Jeffrey?
No. Why would he be named Jeffrey?
You could call him Rejeff. Rejeff Shrooms.
No. We are not. That's a step too far.
I think I've got it. We can have kind of the same sound, make it sort of a bit more Andorian-y. What about Chifrey? Like C-H-F-R-E-Y.
Okay, yeah. I will say
Chifrey Shrooms.
And the thing is that they have, like, apostrophes in their names as well, so that works well. Yep. I like it. So.
So we have Captain Doris and Commander Jeffrey Shrooms.
Yes. Excellent.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. I knew this was going to be stupid. Yeah.
No, this is awesome. I'm loving this.
Captain Jeffrey Shrooms.
Anyway.
Move on.
Personality again, besides me. Get a hold of yourself.
I mean, I definitely like if they are part Aenar and they're sort of telepathic. If the captain is a bit sort of more aloof and shrewd, maybe Shrooms is much more kind of in touch with the crew, as a first officer should be.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
Is a little bit in your face though as well, because aren't the Aenar a little bit softer?
They're a bit softer. Yes, they're more. Subtle, I guess, is the best word. They're not so aggressive. That's what I'm thinking of.
What if they are in touch with the crew because of their Aenar side, but a lot of the time, or sometimes, especially when they're sort of on an away mission or something, they're very like in your face. It's sort of like they sort of have like a two side to them.
I like that. And I think the skin coloring should be kind of
sky blue,
a mixture of the two.
Yeah, like
so, like
pale blue, or like
a paler blue, yeah,
like teal or something.
What about like when the
teal, teal,
a teal Andorian?
I like it.
Wow. Okay, that's cool.
Excellent.
I'm just going to write down Jeffrey Shroop.
Chifrey.
It's like, no, darling. Jeffrey. No, darling. My name is Jeffrey.
This is now a name that I could definitely see appearing, like, as a background character in one of the novels at some point, as just a reference to Jeffrey Combs.
Well, let's hope Una McCormick yes. or someone, Dayton Ward or David Mack, listens to this.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure none of them do, but, oh, if they did, and we saw that show up in a book, that would be a lifelong dream.
I would actually lose my mind. Again, if I was reading a book and Jeffrey Shrooms appeared.
Okay, so first officer, got cool. that.
All right, now we need all the different...
Should we go with the pilot?
Yeah, let's go with the pilot.
A con officer. Let's have someone with lots of eyes. Who has lots of eyes?
Oh, yeah. Let's just make up an alien species.
Yeah, my word, for a con officer.
Yeah.
Oh, this is this.
So, how many eyes is lots?
Oh, 12. At least 12, yeah. Well, oh, no, he could be. This character could be the character that, you know, that's been circulating that Saru was meant to look like.
Oh, yeah. There was like original like concept sketches of what Saru's makeup was going to look like, and it was a great big wide head covered in eyes. Looked very much more like the kind of character that that Doug Jones would play if he were working with Guillermo del Toro again.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at least 12 eyes. But what's their species? What are we going to call them?
Let's just throw out a random word.
Prosia.
Fine. That's
Prosian.
Cool.
Sounds good. Yeah, just random word out there. Prosian. Prosian, the many-eyed con officer. He's like he or she.
Well, we haven't had a he
let's
yet,
make,
so we can
make this one a he. So he is like the most straight-up character. Stiffer than a Vulcan.
Okay.
He's no nonsense. He's like, but he's got an air of impatience to him. Because he will just turn around and be like, what heading? And that's his whole character, is just an angry sort of...
Bordering on insubordination at every second?
Yeah.
Or possibly.
Yeah, but then that wouldn't make him straight up, would it?
Yeah. Or he's just like, yes, straight up.
It could be just a part of his... person, just the way that his species is, and so people just accept it.
Kind of like how Blunt said
they
is.
Know. Yeah, exactly. That yeah. works.
Cool. He's very, very blunt.
Okay, cool.
Can his name be something that no one can pronounce, so they call him Bob? Or is that sort of leaning too much into the Orville?
That is leaning a bit much into the Orville.
Oh, here we go. You've sent a picture of this guy, have you?
Wow, that is very Guillermo del Toro.
It is, right?
So
much. This guy's only got 10 eyes, though. So maybe we can just... No,
well,
no,
I mean, he's
10
probably got a couple
can...
more behind.
Oh, yes, so we can see what's happening behind him.
He literally has eyes in the back of his head.
Yes. Yep, you know what? That's our character.
Okay, we need to give him a name.
Okay, if he's Prosian, we could do that silly thing where, like, Talaxians always have an X in their name, and we can have a Z in his name. So his name could be... Mm-hmm. Broge.
Broge?
Broge.
Broge is good. We usually use ZH for Z.
ZH.
Okay, that works.
Brozh. Next.
Are we going just with bridge crew, or are we going to pick things like a counselor and a medical officer?
I think we need to
pick, and an engineer.
I think we need to pick characters that are going to be able to do something.
Yeah.
So I think we need a medical person, and I think we need a chief engineer.
Agreed.
And maybe a security officer.
Okay, cool.
I don't think we necessarily need, like, whatever Harry Kim did, or I don't think we need a communications officer, because, I mean, we could always make one up on the spot if we need a communications officer.
Yeah.
Sure, they can be a background character.
Yeah. No, I think definitely, yeah. Well, yeah, so what, medical, security, engineering, I think those are the...
Yes.
Okay.
And a science officer. We should still have a science officer.
All right, let's do a science officer now, shall we?
Okay.
Shall we have a denobulan on our ship?
Yeah,
oh, I would love that. Yes, let's please do.
A denobulan's good at science, I would assume so.
Yes.
Yeah, they live, like, super long. Do they not just, like, spend that time getting good at everything? Is that how it works?
I honestly can't remember, but I did love Phlox.
Phlox is fantastic. And they also have, you know, strange family units, because every husband has three wives and every wife has three husbands. And so many children come from those pairings. Okay, so is it going to be male or female or non-binary, transgender, what?
I kind of feel like, can we make this denobulan female?
Yeah, because sure. The only denobulan we've really seen is Phlox, so... Yeah, I think...
No, we've seen one of his wives, too, but she was kind of horny.
That's right, didn't she? That's right, she turns up...
She was hitting on Tripp so much.
Poor Tripp, the good southern boy. Just,
yeah, and he
doesn't quite get
and
it.
And he doesn't understand. Yeah, and Phlox is like, so? Have fun. And he's like, wait, what? Oh, cool, cool. So our female denobulan science officer. Cool, cool, cool. So is she mated?
I reckon so.
Okay.
Unless you want to have sexy times in our storyline, but I'm not fast.
She doesn't need to have sexy times if she doesn't want to, but even she could. Because their relationships seem to be very open.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So we got a...
They don't have a lot of jealousy there.
Female denobulan. We only know of one name, don't we, from Denobula, and that's Phlox. Do we know of any others? I can't remember any others.
Didn't his wife have a name?
I cannot remember. We've had...
Right.
Denobulan, Phlox, unnamed hybrids, Fizal, and Yolan.
Well, that gives us a lot of options.
How about we go Aldor?
Aldor?
Aldor. I like it.
Or how about Alda?
Alda.
Alda. Or Alba. Are we talking B like boy or D like David?
D. D like David.
I like that.
Because otherwise we get into, like, Jessica Alba. I mean,
this way it's just a cross between Aldi and Asda.
She's just officer. She's just quite happy and chill. And maybe she's like a young one. Maybe she's the ensign of the ship.
Yeah. Well, she's.
But would she be the science officer if she were an ensign?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Harry Kim is effectively science officer because there's no real science officer on Voyager. So he was sort of.
Yeah. But let's think about the science officers we've seen on other shows, including Discovery.
Okay.
They are usually of higher rank, at least a lieutenant.
Yeah, I could say she's a lieutenant, but like only recently promoted, and this is her first job, like leading a science department on a ship.
Okay.
Okay, I like it.
So she's just like super eager. Maybe has never really. Been in charge of managing lots of people before, but it's like
she's so excited she's getting the experience of this.
Exactly.
Because denobulans seem to be a lot like just experiencing things a lot of the time. So
what about was our con officer, what were they? Are they a lieutenant as well?
I would say so. I would say everybody that's a bridge crew would have to be at least a lieutenant junior grade. As far as the main crew. Relief crew, no, that's a little more negotiable.
Okay.
But the first officer should definitely be a commander.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Okay, so science officer, shall we move on? Or is there anything else you want to say about Alda?
No, she's just a little bit inexperienced, but
but like super, super eager to get the experience.
And she was put on this ship because it was a sort of smaller science vessel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's now been outfitted for war, as we already know.
Yeah, so suddenly all of these people have to kind of shift their job priorities.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool, cool. All right. Got it.
Who's our engineer?
Do we want them to be our human?
Our token human. Male, female, transgender, binary. Non-binary, excuse me. Or...
I keep thinking of engineer being like this sort of future equivalent of like some gruff dock worker from Belfast or something like that. Which is probably just getting a little bit too close to Scotty, even though he was Scottish, not Irish.
How about, I feel like our engineer, I would like our engineer to be female.
Okay.
I'd like it. I'd Got like it. Him to be female. And I'd like her to be, I wouldn't say an overachiever. I don't like that term. I want her to be very smart and one of the up-and-comers within Starfleet.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
And she's on the Wadley Pari for a brief period to oversee some maybe maintenance work, or no, maybe not maintenance work, but she's on there to oversee a complete upgrade and change in their warp drive.
Yep.
To see whether at that point in time the spore drive could be retrofitted to some other ships.
Oh, yeah. Like retrofitted into an old ship.
Mm-hmm. So, which means she has some connection to Stamets.
Yeah. I'm fine with these sorts of connections, I think. Because it's like, it makes sense that certain people would know each other.
Yes, it does.
But she also believes Stamets and the dude from the Glens' ways of doing things. Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that their methods were slightly wrong, maybe. She had her own opinions, but she followed them because she's not the pinnacle of the research, like Stroll and Stamets.
No, I like that. I like that there's different, like, competing areas of research, because that happens all the time.
Okay, so what are we naming this human female?
What sort of human appearance does she have? Is she Caucasian?
Yeah, we need to figure that out.
Is she of Asian descent? Is she African descent?
Let's have not Caucasian.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I'm
very not.
I was sort of thinking I would kind of like
maybe like Pacific Islands or somewhere.
Oh yeah, potentially actually. Ooh. That could be good. Pacific Island. Okay. Maybe she's from somewhere like Tonga or Tuvalu.
Or Samoa.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, actually, if she's Samoan, we could have our little, like, sneaky reference to wrestling Brandy and have her last name be Anoa'i.
If you want.
Yes.
Who are, the term used is usually a wrestling dynasty. Because these are, there's like basically one huge family from Samoa who have an awful lot of people who become professional wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. That actually is touched on in the Netflix series Glow. Because one of the wrestlers is from such a family. And her brothers actually help all of them learn how to really, you know, take bumps and do moves and throw each other and all of those things. So,
what did you say the last name would be?
How do you spell it? Anoa'i. It's A.
Anoa'i.
A N O A apostrophe I.
Because I quite like the name.
Great.
I'm looking up some traditional Samoan names and I'm quite liking the name Lanuola. Lanuola, literal translation. Oh, hang on a minute. Lanuola is a small part of a long Samoan surname. with the literal translation of this name meaning living colour. So, Lana Wola, and what was the last name again?
Anawai.
Anawai. Lana Wola Anawaihi. And we're going to have so many issues with saying some of these names, I think.
That's okay. We'll get better at it. Practice makes perfect. Now, is she married, single?
No, she is asexual. Doesn't want
anyone. Asexual, nice.
She's just her work, all right. Her life, friends. Doesn't want to deal with that rubbish that goes along with it.
Yeah. And I would even go so far as to say that it grosses her out.
Yeah, and then she could be talking to Alda, who is obviously very open and who's a Denobulan and all of that stuff, and she just doesn't understand. Respectfully, doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can have that. You can have, people who are ace, people who are poly, getting along perfectly well, but, just very different lifestyles.
Yeah.
Yes, I like this.
Now, can somebody quickly...
Oh, my gosh!
Can somebody quickly explain to me? Because I've never understood it, and I don't even know what the term stands for, because it's clearly an acronym for something. What is SJW? Because I see a lot of people having issues with Discovery.
Social Justice Warrior.
Okay, explain it to me.
It's people who believe in equality, basically.
Oh, okay. So...
And diversity.
People that are nice.
Yeah. It is this generation's people complaining about political correctness gone mad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anyone who uses SJW as a derogatory term obviously doesn't understand what a social justice warrior is about because they don't take it as an insult.
Okay. So when people are saying there's too much SJW on Discovery, that's because we've got Michael Burnham as the lead, we've got Saru, we've got...
We have diversity.
A lot of diversity. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know what? Tough, because ours is getting even more diverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I love it.
Cool. Okay. And this, what about if this was the Lieutenant Commander?
You definitely.
Yeah, if she's a chief engineer and also is like overseeing this upgrade, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, nice.
Medical. Do you know what? I don't really want a Vulcan on the ship. I feel like we've got our Vulcan straight upness with our made-up Prosian guy. Shout out some aliens at me.
What about a Trill?
Ooh.
Well, we do see Trill, actually, don't we? We saw it in The Trouble with Edward.
We saw some.
Young Trill, old Trill. When I say young Trill, old Trill, I mean paired... First pairing or first joining or something like the seventh joining?
See, we could just have a Trill who isn't joined. That could be interesting.
Or, yes.
I've always loved the idea because, like, basically we've met Dax and, like, a few of the other Trills and they're all like, oh, I am the seventh host. I am the whatever. What would it be like being the first host for a Trill symbiote? Like, you don't have all these lives to draw on. But there'd be, like, that hunger for new experience, like with the Denobulan.
That'd be fun. I don't know how we would write that into it, but I'm sure we could work it out. I do like the Trill as a species. They're quite interesting.
Me too.
Wouldn't that then be... Oh, it would be the first join, because for every actual Trill host, it is always the first joining. But you mean this is the first host that the symbiote's been in?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah.
So the symbiote is brand new and young as well.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Like it.
So what?
Male or female or what?
I think this one should be male.
And the symbionts are not gender specific, are they?
The symbionts are not. No. But it's just the host.
So they're non-binary.
The host is. We can call him. What can we call him?
Telvon.
Telvon. Yeah, sure.
Okay, but is that the symbiont's name or is that the host's name?
That'll be the host. Telvon. Do we want a funny letter in there? And when I say funny letter, I mean like X, Z, Q, B.
Why not? I like funny letters.
Okay, how about Telvon Rose?
Not R-O-S-E, but R-O-Z.
Oh, yeah. Telephone Rose.
But pronounced Rose.
Great. Maybe people keep getting it wrong and he has to correct them.
It's not Roz, it's Rose.
He's like, get it right, man. God.
Oh, okay. So what is Telvon Rose like?
Erratic.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, like erratic. They always seem a bit kind of frazzled. Like, still a good doctor, because I feel like
a bloody good doctor, yeah.
Yeah, in order to be a doctor in Starfleet, you've got to actually be good at it.
But because he's only just been, this is his first joining, and it's the symbiont's first joining, it could have only happened like 4 weeks prior to joining the ship. So he's having like really big sort of like all over the placeness.
Personality conflicts and stuff.
Yeah. Also, he's our man candy.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, man candy. Let me write that down. Okay, cool.
Yeah. This is the one played by someone who we can get from, you know, who's done roles in Hallmark films.
No. You need somebody hotter than that.
Oh, no. All you need to do is go on Instagram and you can just, like, press the search page and then it's like all these Instagram models and then I sort of get stuck looking at them all. But anyway.
Oh, I will say this. There is this one Hallmark guy who is like really hot. His name is Ryan Pavey. And I would totally cast him as Telvon Roz because he could be, or Rose, excuse me. I've already screwed that up. Because he could play erratic and frazzled and also really smart at the same time.
Is it P-A-E-V-E-Y?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Okay.
He is glorious.
We could get, what's the guy from Chuck that I would just die for?
Besides Zachary Levi?
No. I'm not on the Zachary Levi train. I'm on
you have to narrow it
down.
Had
a picture of him and I love him on your wall. Bad guy.
Oh, yeah. Brandon Routh.
Yes, him.
He'd be great.
Yeah, I want him. Are we gonna cast him? And yeah, oh yeah, we're gonna cast him.
Yeah, we haven't really cast any of these people, but I'm gonna write in that it's Brandon Routh. Okay. Super nice guy, by the way.
Yep. Also, yep. Let's move on. I'm a bit flushed.
Well, all we have as far as personality is erratic and frazzled. Are we not going to go deeper than that?
Well, no, we've already said that he's the first joined.
Erratic, frazzled. Right. Always looking for, like, new experiences to try.
Well, I mean, Telvon would have had a life before being joined, yeah. So...
Well, I mean, let's play into Brandon Routh's, like, body. And he was, like, a very physically fit sort of trill sports person. You know, like how Sisko is very, like, yeah, baseball. We could have Telvon to be, like, yeah, sports.
He could be really into, like, we could take this opportunity to have a character who's into a sport not from Earth. And we could just invent some weird trill sport. And no one else knows how it is, but he really, really wants to teach it to a few other people on the ship so that he can play it again.
It could be like, no. He could be like a frisbee sort of thing. He could, not like a human sport, but he could be like a frisbee and boomerang kind of mix of a sport.
I'm just now imagining like frisbee squash. You got like a rubberized frisbee and you chuck it against a wall and you have to like bounce it off as many walls before you catch it again.
Yes, I like that.
But there could be all sorts of weird rules.
So, frisbee squash.
And he's also trying to get into the... There we go. He can be trying to hit on the Denobulan science officer.
Oh, yeah.
Or, actually, no. He can be trying to hit on maybe Lanuola.
instead.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
And because she's asexual and not interested in that kind of thing, it could then sort of bring out a sort of asexual storyline and bring that out, you know, mm-hmm. like how it's really good at showing that kind of thing in Star Trek. They could do that.
Yeah, have it not just be like word of God, like this is what this character is. Actually have it be like part of the story.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it won't be as cringy as Bashir and on Dax.
Thank you, because that was really, really creepy.
It was creepy.
I feel like you'd have to try quite hard to be more creepy and cringy than that.
Definitely.
How many more people do we want to add this episode?
I think we only need a security officer and that's it.
Okay, perfect. Then let's go for it. I've turned over a new page.
Do we want to go with someone from like a species who are naturally like, you know, quite big and imposing as a security officer, or someone like...
No.
Really the opposite.
No.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is someone like the super strong girl from Orville.
Sort of, but not. They don't necessarily have to be super strong. Just not look like they would be a security officer.
Well, at the same time, we're on a science vessel, so security wouldn't be like the most majorly important thing. So we could have a security officer that's been like, yeah, I wasn't good enough for the Enterprise or the Discovery or that kind of thing. And that could be their personality. That they're like, I'm not good enough for this, so I'm stuck on the Wadlapari.
But
it turns out that whoever this character is a really, really good security officer.
Yeah.
Tactically.
And they are actually exactly where they need to be.
Yeah. Not physically imposing, not physically, you know.
Yes, but
good at tactically.
Tactics. Yes. No, I like that a lot.
Yes.
Orions aren't part of the things. We can't have an Orion. What if we had...
How about a Saurian?
I like it.
Let's have a Saurian. You could get people drunk on his brandy.
Saurian brandy.
What brandy?
Nothing.
We could have the Saurian's name Tubi brandy.
No.
Oh, fine.
But that would be hilarious. Okay, no, you guys can decide. Gender specific or non-binary, trans, what?
Let's have a look. Look, we've got a female captain, a non-binary. I just want to sort of even it up a little bit. You've got a female captain, you've got non-binary, you've got con officer was male, science officer was female, mm-hmm. engineer was female, the other medical officer was male. So you can pretty much choose whoever because it's pretty balanced.
Well, we haven't had a trans person.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't seem on board with that.
No, I'm just trying to think about how trans would work with Saurian. Let's just have a look at Saurian genders.
Star Trek definitely has the assumption that if not otherwise stated, all these species just have kind of whatever gender expressions humans have.
Mm-hmm.
There is only male and female species in the Saurians.
Well, then can we make them gay?
No, we can still be transgender. But
yeah, let's have a Saurian trans woman as the security officer who is initially very like annoyed at being posted on like this little science ship that seems to have no sort of security issues or like what she's just like, oh, I wanted to be out on the front lines, you know, leading all these fancy away missions. And all I'm doing is,
looking after test tubes.
Yeah, mediating disputes between scientists who accidentally, you know, get in the way of each other's research.
Yeah, I like that.
Right. All right, name.
Now, I'm going to be weird.
As opposed to normal?
Yeah. She is a Saurian.
Mm-hmm.
And Saurians look like dinosaurs in a way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. sort of.
And the Land Before Time is one of my favorite dinosaur things.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Can we please call him Ducky? Please? Can we call her Ducky? Or Ducky can be her nickname?
Okay. Ducky can be the nickname, but no parent is going to name their child Ducky.
Yeah. I just want a Land Before Time reference in because I love the Land Before Time.
Okay, we'll give you the nickname as Ducky. But what's her given name?
Nick, what were you thinking of? Were you thinking I was going to go down Ducky or not?
Oh, I thought you were going to go with, originally I was like Land Before Time, I'm going to go with Littlefoot.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say Sarah or
Petrie.
Maybe Petrie.
Yeah, but isn't Petrie like the bird? Because Littlefoot's like
pterodactyl, yeah.
Yeah, Littlefoot's the diplodocus-y sort of thing. Sarah is the triceratops. But Ducky is...
I love that. Yeah, but...
Ducky's
yeah,
like
Sarah,
the one that
looks... the Triceratops.
Yeah, I know. So, original. But shall we make it that Ducky has come as a nickname from their name? Mm-hmm. So, what could their name be?
Problem is, now I'm just thinking Ducat.
Oh. Duck Lord.
No.
No, it was not going to be serious. Unless you want to change it to be like Duck Lore.
What if we do Ducani?
Ducani.
Ducani is good.
And and they probably don't need to think of a surname, so they can just be called Ducani. Lieutenant
yep.
Ducani. Ducky. Yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
I mean, if they can get away with calling Barclay Broccoli, then we can get away with calling Ducani Ducky, so.
Land Before Time reference!
Yay! You win! You win!
Okay, well, I feel like we've managed to create a great crew.
Oh, we've got a very
diverse
and possibly dysfunctional crew.
Yeah.
Well, it is a ship full of nerds, so there is that.
Love it.
I wonder how this is going to go for an episode if people will actually want to listen to this.
Actually, I think it'll go over just fine. I think that everybody does this sort of thing, and to get, and I think sometimes people even get ideas from doing something like this or listening to someone do something like this, because maybe they have a different viewpoint of something. It's like, oh, but what if this happened, or what if this person? So yeah, it's just a creative thing, and everybody, I think, tends to respond well to being creative.
Yeah, I love this stuff. Like I spent ages, you know, a few years ago and through a lot of my time, like, you know, growing up as a Trek fan, also in the like early days of getting into the internet, on like the Star Trek like play by forum, like text based role playing games and stuff like that. And it was so much fun. People just, you know, you have someone would make up a ship, and then there was like a network of all of these websites together. The one that I was in was called Bravo Fleet.
Nice.
I played Lieutenant Junior Grade Torok, who was a half Vulcan, half Betazoid, the con officer aboard the USS Callisto.
Oh.
And super telepathic, jeez.
Yeah.
It was fun.
So, we've created our ship crew. We're going to have to send them on an adventure in the next episode that we do for this, which won't be next fortnight.
We absolutely are. No, we want to give people a break in between.
Yeah, we'll do a couple of other things, but eventually we'll come back to this. We'll come back to the crew of the Wadley Pari and
send them out to war.
Send them into the fray.
Yep, well, I've got all of this written down.
Do you want to give us a rundown of what we've done?
Absolutely.
Far away.
So,
Dungeon
Master the ship
branding.
We've created. Oh, no. I am not a Dungeon Master type. That's Dave's job. Okay, so our ship is the Einstein class, which is the same as the USS Kelvin, called the USS Wadley Pari. It was a hastily retrofitted science vessel. Our captain is a Cation Tellarite hybrid. She kind of looks like a saber-toothed tiger in the face area. Her name is Dehoris, and it's female, obviously. She is very shrewd and incredibly smart, but likes to let people think that she's not as intelligent as she is. Our first officer is an Andorian-Anar hybrid. They are non-binary. They are named Chifrey Shromes. I'm never going to not laugh at that. I tried to do it without laughing, and I couldn't. Obviously, a commander, teal skin, very gung-ho, also telepathic, but very in-your-face a lot of the time. Our con officer is a made-up race called the Prosians, male lieutenant. His name is Broge. He is way stiffer than a Vulcan. Absolutely no nonsense. Has an air of impatience, is blunt, and he also has a lot of eyes, including two in the back of his head, literally.
And he looks like the character that Saru was going to look like.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Which should hopefully be the art for this episode, if you want to look at it.
Yes, that's what we're aiming for. So the science officer is a Denobulan female who is mated. Her name is Alda. She is happy and chill. She's a lieutenant who was recently promoted to lieutenant. This is her first job leading a team. She's super eager, slightly inexperienced, but, you know, hey, that's kind of par for the course on a very small science vessel. All right. Our engineer is a human female. I'm going to say she's Samoan, named Lanuola Anoa'i. She is asexual. She's a lieutenant commander. She's one of those smart up-and-comers, only been on the ship a brief period and was there to oversee the warp drive upgrade. She does have connections to Stamets and Strahl. She thinks they kind of had the wrong methods. She thinks she could have done it differently. But she's extremely smart and good at her job. Our medical officer is a Trill male. The host is male. And this is the first joining for both. They were recently joined, like a month ago. Name is Telvon Rose, played by Brandon Routh, because we got to have the man candy there for Liam. And honestly, me too. He's often erratic and frazzled, but looking for new experiences, really into sports. And his sport is some kind of weird frisbee squash hybrid. Also is romantically interested in Lanuola and keeps hitting on her without understanding that she has absolutely no interest in anyone ever.
And we can have interest in us, Brandy.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. We'll trade off. Security officer is a Saurian trans woman whose nickname is Ducky. Real name is Ducani. She is a lieutenant. She is very annoyed at being posted on a science ship. She was made to feel that she was not good enough to be on Enterprise or Discovery. She's an amazing security officer, very good at tactical thinking.
Yeah. Look at us go.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a
check us out. Right? And next week, we get to go on adventures and hope we don't fail our initiatives.
Wow, I love it. My favorite character, obviously, is Chef Effrey Sholmes, but I really like the name Lanuola Anoa'i as well. I think it's a beautiful name. And yeah. Ducky.
I like Doris.
Captain Doris.
Doris the Safe Toothification.
I could always put a picture of my cat as the artwork as well, if you want.
I feel like it.
Excellent.
There's a particular Instagram cat called Wilfred, which is like one of those squashed face Persian cats with like its teeth just sticking out. I think that's the image I have now.
Cool.
That's funny. I love it.
Well, it has been so much fun talking about the USS Wadlipari and coming up with their bridge crew this week. But it isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network this week. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
This place, like, it seemed like it was very easy for him to just go. It seems like, you know, the Federation and, you know, Picard and Riker and them have that mentality kind of like we would, where they're like, yeah, go get your dad.
And I don't think there's a scene where he asks permission.
There isn't.
He just seems to kind of automatically get permission and just go and do it, which implies that the Enterprise is going to be there for quite a while.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, because the Enterprise is docked there and they have to deal with the aqueducts.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
So it says in my little research that I did, because then I got stuck in a Wikipedia hole about Aboriginal astronomy. It says
rabbit holes.
Karawirapari, which is the Aboriginal or Gowna word, for the River Torrens, which runs through the Adelaide CBD, was thought to be a reflection of the Milky Way known as the Wadlipari, so named because the bright stars on the edge were thought to be the campfires on the side of the river.
I like it.
The Line, a Star Trek Picard podcast.
And then also anything with Patrick. Anytime I got to act across from him, I just think my acting was 1,000 times better. I was more focused, but at the same time, more distracted too. There were a lot of scenes where I'd be sitting there and everyone would just stare at me because I'd be forgetting my lines because I was just, you know, like so absorbed and immersed in Patrick's acting or Alison Pill's acting. I'd just forget that I was, you know, that I had a job to do.
Yes, I can understand that.
Almost like you were watching him on the screen or something, right?
Yeah, exactly like that. And then there was a lot of times where I'd be like, oh, am I meant to speak? And they'd be like, yeah, it's your turn. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. They just found it funny, though.
The orb.
Well, I do think, though, that you can have Section 31 defeated and it not be a black and white thing because, you know, Section 31's desire to completely eradicate all religions because they think it's divisive is definitely their point of view.
Yeah.
But it's also against everything the Federation is supposed to believe in, right? And so they are legitimately undermining Federation values by doing this. And so I think that's the dichotomy that you want.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get our podcasts. If you are an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop podcasts app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. No trolls. It helps us jump up the charts and find more listeners.
If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference. That's our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the Facebook search field, and it should come right up.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. You can choose to send to a show and select The Edge. That will come right to me, and then I will disseminate it to the boys. You can also find the network on Twitter at Trek.fm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trek.fm. So, Liam, when you're not objectifying Brandon Routh, where can people find you?
I'm never not objectifying Brandon Routh.
And rightly so.
In a nice way. We do love his acting skills and ability as well.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Even if he is a fine piece of meat. You can find me at LS74656 on Twitter. I realized I'm probably not very good at Twitter, but anyway. You can also find me on To The Journey on the network with Zach and Suzanne, where we talk about Voyager. Where else can you find me? Oh, yeah, the Babel Conference. Cool. Yeah, there we go. So, Nick, when you're not planning your cosplay of Jeffrey Shrooms, where can people find you on the internet?
I'd legitimately love to cosplay as an Andorian at some point, actually. That would be really fun. You can find me lurking and sometimes commenting in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter, at PunkZoologist. And you can find me on Instagram, at PunkRockZoologist. So, and Brandy, when you're not rolling initiative before heading into combat with the Klingon Empire, where can people find you?
Oh, that's when I really need those natural 20s. You can find me on Twitter at Brandywine12, and you can find me often hanging around in the Babel Conference. I don't have as much time to do that, especially during my stupid busy work time. And also, you can find me on the Unready Room, which is a live show that I am very wonderfully doing with my friends Dan Gunther and Bruce Gibson, which you can find on YouTube at Kurt Ratz Productions. If you have not subscribed to Dan's YouTube channel, please go do that because he is just magnificent and puts out wonderful content. And I adore his work. And he is very gracious to host this show on his YouTube channel. And we are having a great time and finding interesting things to talk about, even though there's no more new Picard at this time. So you can find me on the Dark Corner Podcast with my fabulous husband, Dave, which you can find at darkcornerpodcast.com. You can also find me on my own little solo show called Headcanon also at darkcornerpodcast.com, where I talk about whatever nerdy thing I darn well want to. So there. And someday, when Discovery comes back, that will be live from the edge again, as far as I know, with Bruce Gibson. With Bruce Gibson.
Oh, dear.
I think that's
We'd love to give a shout out to our wonderful crewmen aboard the USS Wadley Pari. They're not cleaning our warp nacelles or whatever they want to clean. They're maybe our cadets. That's Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Paleo, Lisa Slack, Shoeb Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Mallett, and Chris Tiburzio. Thank you for supporting The Edge and Trek FM via Patreon. If you'd like to become an associate producer of The Edge or any of our shows on Trek.fm and have access to our Patrons Roundtable, please visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm.
Thank you for listening, and join us next time to see what's happening on The Edge of Federation Space. I feel that. You wouldn't expect it. I have a relatively like ordinary looking last name, but people always miss out the N. You call me Collison.
It's like, really?
No. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, we all know. Time,
that's okay.
One time when my family were traveling around America and we were in Newark Airport waiting for our taxi, and someone is like trying to call us out because our car was ready. And they're like, Mr. Collision? Is there a Mr. Collision?
Collision?
Oh my god.
Hello.
Use your eyes, people. Raid. Oh my goodness. I get called Jackie a lot.
Jackie Jackala.
That's the thing. They combine my first name and my last name. Oh. Or I get called Brandy Jackson. Oh. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nick, when you get your PhD, you need to formally change your name to Dr. Collision.
Oh, wow. And I'm already going to be Dr. Nick, so just for like a month afterwards, every time I walk into a room, it's going to be going, hi, everybody.
Hello,
hi, Dr. Nick.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Oh, man. Oh, that would be quite funny.